Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Today is the 8th month, the 7th day in the year 2022, and it's the ninth Lord's Day after Pentecost, which the Lord hath made.
Let us be glad and rejoice therein.
Now, this lecture is going to be solely on the three pillars, sacramentals, and holy images. It's an article I wrote. But in this particular article, it tells Catholics everything they must, anybody who wants to be a Catholic has to do these things. These are your minimum prayers and your read, studying, and other things that you need to do. It's in this article, but I'm going to read from it. Just in case somebody wants to refresh themselves, they can listen to it on an audio. But if you're a catechumen or if you're of the faithful, these are mandatory prayers. And if I was the Pope, I would bind it down also on the spiritual rule of the Church now, so I am. And I'm telling the faithful, they need to pray these prayers. And when you get the faithful or catechumens not doing these basic prayers and studying, I'm sorry, I'm not going to consider you Catholic. Yeah. That's like saying I want to be a baseball player, but I'm not going to study how to play baseball. Yeah. I'm not even going to know what a baseball looks like, or I'm not going to know how to hit it or run. So what's the purpose of saying you're Catholic if you're not going to do the basic things you need to do to be Catholic and to save your soul? I don't tolerate it. It shouldn't be tolerated. You're out until you start doing the three pillars. Get away from me, because you're in deep trouble, you're in mortal sin, and you're going to be a big thorn to the brothers in the camp. Prayer, penance, and studying the Catholic faith are the three pillars. Prayer, penance, studying the Catholic faith. And penance also, it works of satisfaction. Those are your root things that enable you to do all the other things you need to do. So, now, I also recommend inquirers to do these prayers. Because if you do these prayers, this is what's going to help you and open up and clear the road for you to understand things. God's grace comes first. Without God's grace, you can't even pray. You can't even do penance. You can't even study the Catholic faith properly. Properly. You can pray, but it's not going to be acceptable properly to God. A lot of people pray, a lot of people do penance, apostates, and it's no good. But with God's grace, though, if you're a faithful and Catholic, with God's grace, these things are very beneficial and fruitful if you do all three of these things. Now, we're going to start out. I'm just really going to read from the article, and then maybe afterwards, if there's any questions, some of the brothers can, or maybe I'll stop after each section and somebody can ask questions. So now I say these instructions are mandatory for Catholics, catechumens, and the faithful to believe or do otherwise, unless otherwise stated. The three pillars: prayer, penance, and studying the Catholic faith. I compare prayer to the grace earned by it to gas in a car. Studying the faith to instructions on how to drive the car. And penance to the maintenance of a car. The car is your body and soul, and the goal is to be in the way of salvation. You can have a car that works, but unless you have gas in the tank, it will not go. And unless you are instructed on how to drive it, it will not go. And unless you maintain it, it will break down. Now we're going to start out with prayer, the necessity of prayer. A couple of Bible verses. Pray lest you enter into temptation, Luke 22:40. Let nothing hinder thee from praying, Ecclesiasticus 18:22. Be instant in prayer, watching it with thanksgiving, Colossians 4:2. The minimum regarding prayer is the morning prayers and the night prayers in the Catholic Prayer Book on page 5 and 6. Now, give me that, I have it here, and I'm going to be more specific on it, because when TJ first read this, he thought it didn't include the divine offices. He was praying them anyway, but it does include that, so I'm going to read that to you from the prayer book, page 5 and 6. So you'll see it's in there if you read it. On page 5, it says, morning prayers. The morning offering, it's all in the prayer book too here. The morning offering, morning prayer to the Blessed Virgin Mary, prayer for protection at the beginning of the day, St. Patrick's breastplate, RGMI morning prayer, prime for the day, the divine office, see the divine office. If you do not receive Holy Communion, then pray the spiritual communion, and after Holy Communion or spiritual communion, pray the Corpus Christi prayer. Now, this is all in the prayer book on page 5 and 6, and most of the prayers are right there on that page. If not, it tells you where to go. So that's the morning prayers, you see. The night prayers, examination of conscience regarding the thoughts and actions of the day, complying for the day, divine office, prayer to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and evening prayer of thanksgiving. And these, again, are in the prayer office. No, in the prayer book right here. Now, when we do complying, when we come together to watch movies, when I watch, at night times, I watch a movie, I have some alcohol, I smoke a cigar, right? But before I do that, I pray complying, because if you're drinking alcohol, you don't want to pray it after that. You may fall asleep, you may get tired, and you're going to miss it. So you don't want to miss it. So before we come together to watch our movie, have some alcohol, and watch a movie, and have some, maybe a little snack after that, I do complying before that. Because if you wait till after, a lot of times you're too tired, or you're not as up to do attentive as you would be before. That's a little hint. So there, that's your night prayers, okay? Prayer 5 and 6 in the prayer book. Now, these are also part of your schedule here. And pray one rosary, 5 decades, and 1 angelic chaplet a week. And usually they used to pray the rosary on the Lord's Day when they would come to Mass, and before Mass they would pray the rosary. That's sufficient. We at Mary's Little Remnant, on our rule, we pray a rosary every day and a chaplet every day, but you don't have to do that. It's sufficient for the faithful and catechumens to pray one rosary, 5 decades, not the whole 15, a week, and 1 angelic chaplet a week. On Maundy Day, pray the Holy Hour anytime between 12 midnight and 6 a.m. On Good Sixth Week Day, pray the Stations of the Cross and the 7 Penitential Psalms. And read the Roman Martyrology for the current day from the RGMI Revised Roman Martyrology, accessed on the pastoral menu. Are you on every day pray the Roman Martyrology? All right, now, attend Mass on the Lord's Day and other days of obligation if possible. If a Catholic Mass is not available, pray the Mass prayers instead. The introit, collect, lesson, epistle, the prayers after the epistle and before the gospel, creed, offertory, secret communion, and post-communion, like you saw us do today. Do not expect to be lifted up to the third heaven every time you pray. Mm-hmm. Pray is a duty, as a military duty, even when you feel no inspiration or are distracted. Most times you pray, you will not be lifted up, and many times you will be distracted. But pray anyway, and you will see the great results. God will come to you and will inspire you in His good time, when and where He sees fit. Most times God will inspire you when you're reading the scriptures or studying the faith, but He will even inspire you when you are recreating or doing everyday activities, even when I watch secular movies. God will bring a revelation to me. But these charismatics, they want revelations when they want them. Every time they pray, they want to be lifted up to 10 heavens. That's a charismatic kind of a horrible spirit. You know, every time I want to be lifted, and if they're not lifted up, every time they're praying, that's when they stop praying. That's why they don't maintain in prayer. You always want to be rewarded when they're praying with some type of consolation. God does give you consolations in His time and in His way. All right, so that's on prayer. Now we ended the prayer section. Any questions on the prayer section?
Much like we lost TJ and Declan. They went offline.
TJ's online, he's right here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can catechumens pray the spiritual communion? Declan asked.
That's a good question. Yeah, they could, because they're not allowed, because they can't receive it. Yeah, they could, because it's for anyone who can't receive it.
He's at work.
Yeah, and that would be for people who are under minor excommunications, too. Are not allowed to, they have to do the spiritual. So, yes, they can do a spiritual communion. That's a good question. All right, so catechumens could do spiritual communions. Now, of course, that's all we have today anyway, until we get a Catholic priest right now. Anyway, now here's on penance. And I quote, but I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. 1 Corinthians 9:27. And mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, Colossians 3:5. There's a time to do penance and a time not to do penance. Hence, when you are not doing penance, you must enjoy things with as much comfort as possible. Catholics are not Stoics nor Epicureans. Make straight the path of thy feet, and all thy ways shall be established. Decline not to the right hand, nor to the left. Turn away thy foot from evil. Proverbs 4:26-27. The minimum regarding penance is as follows. You must abstain from meat on the sixth weekday, unless it is a holy day of obligation. Follow the fasting schedule for Lent and Advent, as listed on Mary's Little Remnant Catholic calendar, and the fast on the Vigil of Pentecost. But you do not have to do the three-day liquid fast during Lent. Three, you must give up something that you like during Lenten season on the fasting days. Four, you must do penance, the penance imposed upon you by a priest in the confessional. Read my book, The Hellenization of Christianity by the Anti-Church Fathers and Scholastics, the chapter titled The Stoic and Epicurean Philosophies, and read my book on penance is necessary for salvation. Now that's the section on penance. Any questions on that? Now on studying the Catholic faith, he that refuseth to learn shall fall into evils. Proverbs 17:16. Take heed to thyself and to doctrine, be urged in them, for in doing so, doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 1 Timothy 4:16. Follow the Bible reading schedule at least 2 days a week. See MLR Daily Bible Reading Schedule. It's in my revised Bible also. I recommend it every day if possible. I'll say one thing. The more you start reading the Bible and you fall in love with it, the more you're going to want to read it, at least once a day. But as long as you do it twice a week, but you'll see, because that's how God talks to you. Many times you'll have something bugging you, problems the day before. You wake up in the morning and there God's answering it for you in the Scriptures. So Bible reading is absolutely necessary at least 2 days a week. According to the schedule I have, which is either in that article I have, or it's also in my revised Bible. And also read my revised edited Bible, no other version, unless you have no choice and you don't have another version. But if you have access to my Bible, read that one with the good Catholic commentaries. And if you see anything that needs to be edited, or a typo, a grammar mistake, or something, not grammar, but mostly typos or something, let me know so I can perfect that. Now, and study the Catholic faith at least 2 days a week by spending at least 30 minutes studying the Catholic faith, either by reading, listening, or watching works of the Catholic faith that are on my website, www.johnthebaptist.us. Study and prepare to take the profession of faith for the days of the great apostasy when it is available now, actually almost, when it becomes available. And read my book on how to be a good Catholic. Now, the profession of faith, every point's up there, but like just three more points. So, and those three I covered in an audio. So basically, it's all up there, but it's not in one book. It's in sections. I'm going to combine it in one book when it's all done. But it's basically done. Those 3 points that are on audio but they're only in audio. When I get them done, I'm going to put it all into one book. Any questions on studying the Catholic faith? Now, when you read the Bible again, in the Old Testament, New Testament, you can't have one without the other. If you try to not read the Old Testament because you don't like it, you chopped it out, you're prejudiced against faithful Jews because you hate all Jews or something, you're racially got a problem with the Old Testament, that's like going to a movie halfway in the middle of the movie, you're watching only half of it. You don't even know who's who, what's what, and why is it happening. You need to read both Testaments. And there's still a lot of prophecies in the Old Testament that are yet to be fulfilled, and figures of things that are happening today. And also prophecies about Christ that make sense. Even when Christ was invoking his legitimacy to the Pharisees, he says, if you do not believe Moses, how will you believe in me? You need to read Moses. You need to read the Bible. You need to read the prophets to understand everything that Jesus fulfilled in those prophecies. It's like, really, you're spoiling everything if you just read the New Testament. And you've got some people that are prejudiced against the Old Testament. They think he's like a different God or something, which is another heresy. I don't want to go off too long on that. But I just want to really emphasize about reading the Bible. If you find yourself not reading the Bible, all in New Testament, according to my schedule, you're in big trouble if you have access to it. You're a mortal sin if you don't do it. That means you're not loving God, you don't want to know God, and God's going to say, well, I don't want to know you. Yeah. And I say many times, the Bible's God's love letter to mankind and a warning. All right, now, wearing the sacramentals. For he that shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man also will be ashamed of him when he shall come in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Mark 8:38. That's your protection. If you can wear them and the law doesn't forbid it, then you wear them. That's your. You don't wear it, you don't get protection from God, so you wonder why you're having all these problems? That's a biggie right there. The brothers are going to tell you some good stories about it just because they're sacramentals and what they were wearing. How many people are coming up asking? See? Okay, so wear on your person one or more sacramentals, such as the St. Benedict Crucifix, the Sacred Heart Badge, the St. Philomena Cord, or the Miraculous Medal. All but the St. Philomena Cord must be worn outside of the clothing and thus be visible to the public unless they are forbidden by an employer or other person in authority, or if they will get in the way of work when doing heavy labor. If you wear a suit and a tie for your job, you can wear a Catholic religious pin on your lapel if your employer allows it. And you can wear the rest of the sacramentals under your clothing. You must not wear the sacramentals when bathing. The only one you are required to wear when sleeping is the St. Philomena cord. Now, if you're not required, then you don't. Then you follow the rule. Like the early Christians had to hide their faith even. You can never deny it. There's a difference between hiding your faith and denying it. You can never deny it, but you can hide it. We've been over that many times before. Any questions on the sacramentals, on what I just said there? You must have an altar and holy images in your home. If possible, set aside a place in your home for an altar to pray before. And if possible, it must have a crucifix, images of the Holy Trinity, the holy face of Jesus from the Shroud of Turin, the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Joseph, and St. Michael, and relics if possible. You can also have other holy items according to your devotions. Your home must also contain a sufficient amount of holy items so that whoever visits you will know that you're a Catholic and that you put your faith above all else. The only time you do not have to display holy items in your home is when the state forbids it. In this case, you can hide them and bring them out and bring them out when it is safe. You can do that. Like I said, you can hide your faith, but you can never deny it. Those are two different issues. Let's see, what else do we have here on the images? Like, it's just a side story, but I visited this one kid, and he had all these sports heroes around his room. Yeah. We love sports here, too. But a lot of times, just there's all the problems. I told him, it's okay to have sports heroes up on your, you know, but you got to have more religious pictures than sports heroes. I walk in your room, I don't see anything about Jesus Christ and Mary and God and the Catholic faith. All I'm looking at here is like sports people. He idolized sports figures. We like sports too, but don't idolize them, you understand? A lot of people are ashamed of Christ, they are. I grew up that way. Us nominal Catholics were ashamed to even say the name of Jesus. These conservative Protestants put us to shame because they're not ashamed. They'll call and use the name of Jesus to stop it. Nominal Catholics are ashamed. All right, so that's about the altar in your home. Any questions on that? Okay, now the last part here is on counsel. I counsel you to try to follow the rule of Mary's remnant as much as possible. I counsel you to pray the Lord's Day Vespers. I counsel you to pray the daily Mass prayers for Lent. And it will be good to follow the schedule on our calendar as much as possible. And I highly recommend the monthly holy hour and a long exorcism prayer, which we pray here together. All you people are on the site, you're on the site, we pray it together. And that's it. There you go. It's all on like a page and a half. These are the stuff you need to do. You want to save your soul. If you're an inquirer, you should do it. It'll help you come in quicker. And if you're an inquirer, you eventually have to start doing these things or you're not showing goodwill. But if you're a catechumen, because you already made a profession to want to be a member, and all members who want to remain members, you better do these things. And know that if you're lacking in any one of them, you're in mortal sin for lacking it. I mean, if you miss a few things, God's not going to club you over the head. But if you're not doing it at all, you're in deep trouble. Deep trouble. And other things are going to happen in your life where you're going to start falling away. You're going to become chaotic. You're going to become argumentative. You're going to have all kinds of other mortal sins coming around in your life. And you're going to wonder why this is all happening to you. Your pride is going to peak up. Humility goes out the window. So just this is this is right here. Again, what I call the three pillars, prayer, penance, and studying the Catholic faith. End of lecture. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.